All righty. Is it time to give her a call?
She's literally been waiting her whole life for this.
Yeah. True.
Here we go.
I know for a lot of adopted kids, they imagine as they're growing up who their biological parents are. It's natural. And I think it's also natural to fantasize that they're someone famous, a rock star, sports star. And most of the times, those things aren't true. Most of the time, the parents are just ordinary folks. But not on today's episode. Imagine spending your whole life wondering about your bio dad, and then you find him and realize that he's been on a hit TV show for 11 seasons. And your kids already know him from the TV show. And then you're asked to come on to that same show. Well, folks, that's today's episode. My name is Don Anderson, and I'm the host of Missing Pieces, MPE Life. And this is Season 4, Episode 13, Biodad Reality TV Star. But first, I just want to mention something about my biodad being on the screen. Not a TV or a movie screen, just a regular old home video. Remember that episode, Finding Biodad? It's actually one of my favorites. And not because half of it's about me. Well, maybe that has a little bit to do with it. But in that episode, I talk about the only video I have of my biodad is when he's a character in a local melodrama play. So it really wasn't him. He was in character. And he died in 2010. There's this woman, Kim. She's my biodad's stepdaughter-in-law. I was asking if they had old videos, and she took all of their home videos, you know, the old ones from the 80s and whatever, and sent them away and got them digitized. And I finally got to see and hear my biodad for the first time as himself. The first couple she sent was of her wedding, so he was in it a little, but not a lot. You know, he was like sitting in the pew. There was some of him dancing during the reception, but it was all very quick shots. But still, I was grateful. But then I get a message from Kim that just said, "Get ready." And then she sent me this video of him at a barbecue in the backyard. And I got to see him up close, hear him talk plain as day. It was magical. And Kim, if you ever listen to this, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Seriously. And thanks to my sister Rochelle, put me in the group chat with that family. You started the ball rolling. If your bio dad or mom has passed away and you never had a chance to meet them, make sure you hit up all the new family for old videos. It took me 2.5 years bugging people now and then. But do yourself a favor. Find those old videos. Trust me. It's worth it. Don't forget about the Untangling Our Roots Summit coming in a few weeks. It's April 25th through 28th in Denver, Colorado. Don't miss out. I'll be there Thursday through Saturday morning making a podcast. Can't wait to see you. And it's untanglingourroots.org. If you just Google Untangling Our Roots, you'll find it. Still tickets left. It's not too late. Check it out. All the TLC footage in today's episode is used under the Fair Use Doctrine that is written into the copyright laws of the United States. Now, on with the episode. This is Angie.
Okay, so my name's Angela Burdett. I go by Angie, and I'm from Mobile. I live in Sarah Land now, Alabama. Okay, so I've always known that I was adopted. Like, I don't have a memory of not knowing. So I've always known my whole life, so... And I was actually, like, proud of it. And people would say, "You look like your dad." I'm like, "No, I don't. I'm adopted." Because they just made me feel like I was special. So, yeah, I was always proud of that. So when I was 16, I found out I was pregnant. I made the decision to place him for adoption. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. I was 16 when I got pregnant. I was 16 when I had him. But then I ended up getting married, had children. like, you know, they've always known that they have a brother. Like, that's never been a secret. When I was a child, like, I never, like, I don't know. I don't think I've ever, like, sat down and was like, I want to find my parents. None of that. Like, you know, my parents are my parents. So everything was good. I think later in life, curiosity came about, but I still did not make that step, just because I think what held me back was I didn't want it to hurt my parents' feelings in any kind of way, which it didn't, but just me thinking that it would hurt their feelings, basically. So when I went to the doctor and there was like a little bitty little lump on my breast. So at that point, my mother is searching out. She didn't even tell me, but she was searching out to try to find information about my birth parents, just to see if, you know, anything ran in the family, which of course they would not give her any information. So.
Like how many years ago, you think?
Oh, it would have been probably about 25 years ago, maybe. Maybe longer. I was adopted through Catholic Charities, and it is all private sealed. They're not going to give any information out. So, of course. But at that point, I'm realizing, okay, my mom's good with this. Like, she wouldn't be, it wouldn't hurt her feelings in any kind of way. So, yeah. So that's when I went to my parents and was like, okay, that's kind of what I'm going to do. And they were totally okay with it. Like, super okay with it. So my first step was, you know, like, it would come across my mind and I'd want to do it, but then life gets involved and children and this, everything happens and you just don't do it.
Right. Basketball practice.
Correct. Like, all these things happen and you just keep on going with your life. But in the back of my head, of course, I always wanted to be able to. Okay. So when I got pregnant and had my kids, like, so now I'm finally looking at somebody that looks like me. So it made a difference, but it's still not the same as like your parents looking at somebody that looks like you.
Yeah, I think with the kids, it's like they look like you, but you know what I mean?
Right.
But you don't look like anybody, right? If that makes sense.
Right. Yes. And then a lot of my reasoning behind it was, I wanted to find them. I wanted to be able to tell them, hey, I'm good. I had a great life. I wanted them to know that. Because, see, I know both sides of it because I was adopted, but I also placed a child for adoption. So I always just wanted them to know I was good. I'm, you know, I had a great life. I'm healthy. I'm alive. I'm good. That was my main goal, really. It just happened to turn out a lot better than that. Because you also have to think in the back of your head, okay, so if you do search and you find them, they might not want to see you, or that could, all kinds of things could happen. So you have to be prepared for whatever happens. And I think at that point, well, actually, okay, so my daughter, when she had cheer camp, we had to go to, I think it was, wherever we had to go. We had to pass through Montgomery. So at this point, I know you can get your original birth certificate now, where you couldn't do that in the past.
What's the significance of Montgomery? Is that the capital? Like where the records are kept?
Correct. So, I mean, I could have called. I could have, and got them to mail it to me, but we were passing right through there. So we decided we would stop and just get my original birth certificate.
So Angie got her original birth certificate, which she had never had before. And it had a mother's name on there, but no father's name.
We go to the hotel and I stay up all night, like on Facebook and just looking up that last name, and nothing happens. Like, I mean, I don't even know why I was doing that. But so on the way home, I said, Jamie, just Google her name. So when she Googled her name, her obituary came up and she had just passed away. I'm pretty sure it was 3 months or 3 weeks. I can't remember if it was 3 months or 3 weeks, but she had just passed away. So my daughter's like, Mom, you're not going to believe this. And I'm like, what? She's like, she died. I'm like, so, but in the obituary, they give her daughter's names because she had two other daughters. So with that, that gave me my lead. I could, you know, because they live right here in Mobile. So obviously, you know, that's where my searching began, was with them. Actually, my daughter's best friend's stepmother was best friends with my sister's best friend. So it's a long story. But anyway, I started thinking, you know, at this point, I'm not sure if they know about me. So I'm not really sure of how to approach it, because I don't want, you know, to disrupt anybody or, you know, cause any, anything bad. So I actually reached out to her friend and asked her friend, would she just kind of go to her and kind of fill her out and see if she knows about me. And that's what she did. She called my sister Kimmy over and kind of started questioning her and figured out that she did know. So that's kind of when she let her know that I was searching for her. So I just left it in her court to call me. And she did. She called me like the next day. And we talked for a long time. So that's kind of how I got with my sisters.
So the timing of that with their mom being recently deceased, how did that affect your relationship with them?
Well, you'll hear me say it 100 times. I've always said, I believe everything happens for a reason. It happens at a time that it's meant to be. So I think that's why I found them at the time I found them, because my sister Kimmy was not doing very well with her mother's death. Just totally, you know, disrupted her whole world. Like, she was just not doing well. So meeting me just brought her out of that depression, I guess you would say, like a distraction. Because sometimes, I mean, everybody has to grieve, but you still got to move forward. And I think I was that distraction for her. My birth mother had got married and had 2 children with the same, they had the same daddy. Well, they ended up getting divorced. So when they got divorced, both kids went with the mama. Well, eventually Debbie ends up going and living with their dad. So at this point, once I met Kimmy first, because now we're talking back, because we're not sure if Debbie knew about me or not. So now we're kind of tiptoeing around that a little bit, but she also knew, her dad had told her. So then like the next week we make the meeting with Debbie. So now it's all three of us. So, yeah, so we're all three really close. They live right here by me, so I see them all the time.
Being she just missed meeting her bio mother, Angie wanted to waste no time looking for her biological father. So with the help of her 2 new sisters, she got to work.
So at this point, I'm like, don't know really what to do. We were at Kimmy's house looking through pictures, just trying to find a name. I mean, something to go off by. There was a picture, and it had her, because I knew he was in the Marines, and it's my birth mother standing with a guy that was in the Marines. So the whole time, I'm thinking that's him, but there's no name on the picture. So at that point, I knew the only way to be able to find him would be through DNA. There would be no other way, because there's no even name. I mean, you can't. If I even had a first name, I might have had a chance.
So Angie's son, Cody, did a DNA test on Ancestry. And lo and behold, he had a pretty strong match on his mom's side. It was matching him as a first cousin, but she was a lot older than him.
You know, honestly, like when he told me the name, I go on Facebook, I find her on Facebook, and I'm looking at her. I'm like, I think we got the same eyes. I knew it. My gut knew it. Like, just looking at the picture that I found, like, I knew those eyes. I just knew. My gut said that was her.
But that woman hadn't been on Ancestry in over 10 years.
Then, so now, like, he puts him at, so I'm calling him all the time. He's like, she's not been back on there, Mom. Like, and then randomly, like, I think it was 6 or 7 months, she happens to go back on there. And I didn't know why she was going back on there. I forgot to ask her, but so she messages him back. So now they're going back and forth, and he's talking to me, making sure he's getting the information right.
So this woman, her name was Kim, she really wanted to help Angie find out who her biological father was. The only problem, though, she was only 3 years old when Angie was born. There were actually two problems with her only being three. One, since Kim was only 3 years older than Angie, Angie assumed her biological father was Kim's father, which isn't true, by the way. And the other reason that three-year-old was a problem is that three-year-olds have no memory. So there were four siblings altogether, Kim, the one who matched on Ancestry, and then she had an older sister, and then she had two older brothers, the oldest being 20 years older than Kim. So Kim called her older sister, Karen, to see if she knew anything. And she did. She knew exactly what Kim was talking about.
She said her mother's name is Jackie. She was born in 1968. It was either May the 3rd or May the 5th. And the reason that she knew that information is because when Jackie, my mother, got pregnant, right before my dad shipped off to Vietnam, they went to go meet his parents. Well, they met the sister, the older one. And so he got shipped off. She just found out she was pregnant. So she, my birth mother, lived with Karen, his sister, for like 5 months. So she knew Jackie. They became friends. So she knew information that nobody else would have known. So now I know their brother is my biological dad. But the younger sister, because she, it was her DNA that connected us. She said, okay, let me, just give me a minute. Let me go. I don't think I need to do this over the phone. I think I need to go talk to him in person and, you know, tell him what's going on. So she did.
Where did he live at the time? North Carolina?
North Carolina. And she's in North Carolina too, but she's probably about 30 minutes from him. So, and actually at the time, his wife was in like a rehab because she had had a stroke and stuff. So she goes up there, sits him down, tells him everything that happened. And she's, cause she caught me because me and the, his sister, Kim, the youngest one, we had already been talking and had become like close and like, I don't know, but she's like, Angie, when I tell you, when I said it, he had the biggest grin on his face, like it, of happiness. So she said, I knew everything was good, you know. So he's basically, he's excited, he's happy. But at the time that all this is happening, his wife is having health issues. His best friend just like died like 2 days before that. So he was like, please let her know. I'm going to contact her, but just let me get through the death of his best friend and everything that was going on. I was like, yeah, no worries. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. We're fine. So she calls me and lets me know that he's excited that we're going to, you know, eventually we're going to talk. So kind of what happened after that is his daughter, which is Whitney, calls me and says, hey, she was trying to just talk to me first to let me know that, you know, he's going to call me. He's just trying to, you know, deal with everything that's going on. And so me and her talked for a long time and got a lot of information. And she told me a lot of stuff about him. And what she actually said to me, she said, Angie, if you want to know about your dad, she said, because see, at this point, okay, I've jumped across. So let's go back.
Did you know she was famous at this point?
No, I did not know. So,
oh, so she called you. You had no idea who she was?
Okay, no, I did know before she called me. Oh, but okay. When I found out, okay, so when all the information came out of who, you know, is my biological dad and who his kids are and all that, my daughter and my kids, my daughter first, she's like, Mom, do you understand who she is? I'm like, she's like, she's famous. I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, you know, My Big Fat Fabulous Life. And I'm like, I don't know. And I knew I had seen like commercials and stuff. I had seen that, but I had never sat down and watched the show. But in my head, when she's telling me, I'm thinking, like a YouTube or something famous. You know, people get, I don't know. I don't even know why I wasn't thinking TV. Well, she kept saying, she's like, no, Mom, she's on TV. I was like, oh my gosh. Well, so when she calls me, so at this point, I do know that she, you know, has a show and stuff, but I had never watched the show.
So everybody knows. So the woman she's talking about, Whitney, is the star of a reality TV show on TLC called My Big Fat Fabulous Life. And Whitney's, she has this amazing big personality, and she used to be a professional dancer, and then she had some medical issue that caused her to gain a lot of weight. So the show is about her and her life, you know, which includes her dad and her brother, which is now Angie's biological dad and new half-brother. So when the episodes started coming out, people were texting me, hey, Don, do you know there's an adoption story on My Big Fat Fabulous Life? And so I started watching it, and so I liked the story. I liked Angie. So I reached out to Angie on Instagram and said, hey, you know, blah, 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 I got a podcast, blah, blah, blah. But, and I was said, you know, I have actually worked with Whitney before, which is true, but I work like on marketing shoots, you know, so promos and photo shoots and stuff. And I'm a producer on those, but I don't really have any direct contact with the talent necessarily. And I try to leave them alone, you know, and I just let them be them. And so, there's no way Whitney would have known me, but I did mention the particular shoot that was in Atlanta, and I thought she would because it happened right before COVID. But of course, she told Angie, I've never heard of this fucking guy. It did not help my chances of getting Angie to come on my podcast. And so a lot of months passed, and finally, I reached out to someone I know at TLC and said, hey, can you pass this along to Angie? And so that made me legit in their eyes. So Angie got in touch with me.
So when I'm talking to her on the phone, you know, because she asked me, had I ever seen the show? I was like, no, I haven't. And she said, well, I'm just going to take, if you want to know about your dad, she's like, just go on there and watch some episodes. She's like, he's exactly who he is on the TV. So, of course, immediately I go back through episodes and watch, you know. So I had kind of had a heads up because I was able to watch them on the show and kind of learn a lot about them, where they didn't know anything about me. So
the fact that you can watch episode after episode after episode of your biological dad, it's just so friggin' cool.
It really is. I mean, like, I'm going to tell you, and I told him this, and so, like, just growing up, you know, you think about, like, what your parents would be doing and who they would be or what they did for a living, all kinds of things. The one thing that I always thought about my dad was that I always thought he was a rock star. I'm like, you know, like in a rock band, like famous like that, but just, you know, what you would dream up. He's not the rock star, but he's on TV. Yeah. So I mean, I learned a lot before I met them through the show.
Just to revisit all what's happening here. Angie, a woman from Alabama, never been in the limelight, all of a sudden finds out her bio dad and half-sister and half-brother have their own TV show, their own reality show. And I know enough about reality TV to know that when the producer heard about this, a possible storyline, they must have loved it, right? So Angie, in the story of her finding her biological dad, Glenn, and reaching out to him, becomes part of the show. They invite her on the show.
Hey, what you doing?
Hi, Daddy. Since we're fast approaching your 9:30 a.m. call, I thought I would make sure you knew what was going on.
Okay.
So in this scene, Glenn, the dad, walks into a room and Whitney has this dry erase board with Angie's whole family on there. So telling her dad who's who in Angie's family. So he's prepared for the phone call.
Ever since we got the earth-shattering news that my dad had fathered a child in the 60s and she found our family through a DNA website, I took it upon myself to dive right in and learn as much about our new family as possible. All right, so what happened was you, and Jackie.
Mm-hmm. What is going on here?
Hunter, Whitney's brother, walks into the room.
Well, you know how Dad gets confused.
Uh-huh.
All right, Glenn and Jackie.
Uh-huh.
You did something, which gave you...
Angie.
Correct.
Okay, I ended up being in season 11, and we're filming season 12 now.
Right, so tell me how you... How you became part of a reality show. How'd that happen?
I know. So, me and Whitney, we're talking and thing, and nothing's brought up about the show. It's all about, getting in contact with her dad, the whole thing. So, I'm excited. I'm actually in Kentucky with my oldest son, with my other children, and my grandbaby, when all this is happening. So, I believe it was the very next day. If it wasn't the next day, it was the day after that. My phone has a message, but it's a recorded message. You play it and she's talking to, so it's Whitney. And she's like, Angie, I just want you to know, if you don't hear from me in the next month or whatever, she's like, it's because my mom just had a major stroke and we're headed to the hospital now. It was gut wrenching. I don't know. It was just overwhelming sadness for me. But
that was so sweet of her to call you or to leave that message for you.
Yeah. So at that point, I would message and just be saying, I'm praying for y'all. I'm just checking on y'all. I didn't overwhelm them, because at this point, I know it's a major stroke. That's the stroke she never came back from, and she ended up dying.
So how long before you figured out who your biological dad was and then his wife dying? How much time had passed?
Okay, so it was probably 2 weeks, maybe, by the time, or a week and a half, I guess, that Whitney reached out and was talking to me on the phone. And the very next day is when she had her stroke.
Wow.
It wasn't long. It really wasn't long. The first time I ever talked to Whitney on the phone, it was that evening, that night. We talked for 2 or 3 hours. The next day is when I get the message she had her stroke.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah. So now, not only the death of his best friend, but now his wife. Now she's and I'm not sure how long she was in the hospital. I do not have a good memory, but...
Yeah, I don't either.
She stayed in the hospital for however long before she actually passed away. And I did not talk to him on the phone. There was communication as a text, just making sure, we're just dealing with everything. Because I know she died in December. So it's probably a month later.
Wow.
It was probably about a month from the time she probably had her major stroke that she died. And then he had to deal with, the funeral and all that. So once they got through all of that, they ended up calling me. So I'm talking, he calls me. So I'm talking to him, but he's at Whitney's house.
All righty. Is it time to give her a call?
She's literally been waiting her whole life for this.
Yeah. True.
Here we go. Angie?
How are you?
Okay.
I was excited that we got connected with the DNA test that said that that you were my daughter.
Yes.
And I've always thought about you and hoped that that you had a good life and that you were okay and you were taken care of.
Although it's not unusual to have a phone call with your bio father you've never known. But having it on TV, it just takes it to a whole nother level. And for hearing both sides, you know what I mean? It was really, really interesting. And then later in that same episode, they're going to do a FaceTime. It'll be their first time seeing each other.
He's like, okay, why don't we just FaceTime? I'm like, oh my gosh, like hold up, I look like a hot mess. But so we FaceTime for a second.
About a week ago, my dad spoke to his daughter, Angie, for the first time, and now we are about to FaceTime, and I can't wait. It is such a strange predicament being face-to-face with a stranger who's actually your daughter.
Do you want to hit the button? You do it. You just click it right there, and I'll do the rest.
Hi.
Hey. Hi.
How are y'all?
Doing good.
Good.
Hunter, bring, come
I'm
in.
I'm over here.
There's Hunter.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
Yeah, they kind of come to me and ask me would I feel, you know, comfortable with it, you know, doing our first meet together being filmed. And I'm like, okay, I'm good with it. I knew my kids, like I went to everybody and everybody's good with it. So I was like, yeah, it's fine. Cause yeah, they all absolutely were like happy saying like, which I get it. Like, cause this show's been on, let's see, that was season 11. So for 11 years, it was already established. And then this happened. It's not like you created the show around it. It was already a step. Like, people, you know, millions of people watch her. So after talking, we're trying to figure out how, you know, to meet and all that. And so I'm like, you know, I mean, we can come there if you want, you know, whatever. And she's like, well, it'd probably be, because there's a lot more of us than it is of them. There's three of them and a bunch of us. So she's like, it'd probably be better for us. Just come there. Be easier. And I was like, okay, so. I was like, y'all want to just, you know, get some, like, rent a place and on Dolphin Island and let's just hang out and get to know each other. And so we were all good with it. So that's kind of when she said, I don't know how you feel about, you know, the show or if you would want to be, let them film it or not. I'm like, I'm fine with it. So I guess I think it was Whitney that asked me first. But it might have been Glenn. It was one of them. I don't know who asked me, but just kind of filling me out if I would be interested. And I was like, yeah, it's like a great story. Like, I want people to know, like, there can be a happy ending and it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a good thing.
So they decided that they would rent like a big house on Dolphin Island, like an Airbnb. And both families would come, Angie's family and Glenn and Whitney's family. And so they did that. First time they ever met. And geography lesson, Dolphin Island is just off the coast of Alabama. It's this really nice, quaint little island down there.
Yes, yes. It's a little bitty little island. It's so nice. Like, no red lights. Like, there's no McDonald's. So we decide we're going to do that. After Dolphin Island, we go to North Carolina, me and Jamie do. And
Jamie is your daughter?
My daughter.
Right.
My yeah, she's my daughter, my youngest one. I have three. I have Ryan, Cody, then Jamie. And then me and Jamie went to North Carolina. And so we're sitting down at a barbecue restaurant, and that's when Glenn asked us, would we like to go with them on vacation? I was like, yeah, absolutely. So because he asked for the whole family to go, because that's kind of how we are. It's like, we all go, or, you know what I'm saying? So, of course, after that, that's when the producer or whatever called and asked, did I have a passport? So, at that point, I'm like, oh, y'all, we really going somewhere. We're going out of the country. So, none of us had a passport, so we all had to get passports. And that's when we found out we were going to Switzerland. Like, how amazing is that? Like,
has it aired on TV? That,
yes,
Switzerland was. Oh, I yeah. Haven't seen that yet. I'll have to catch up on that.
Oh my gosh, Switzerland was just, oh, it was so amazing. Because at this point, we've already done Dolphin Island. We've spent a week together, and so we've gotten to know each other. We've been to North Carolina. We've talked on the phone. So now at this point, we're really like, we know each other at this point. So, yeah. It's not like going with strangers to Switzerland or anything. Try to explain it to people, and you can't explain it. Like, I know people see, like, that we're strangers, but there's something in your DNA. Like, once you meet, like, you do not feel like a stranger anymore. Like, It's just some kind of pool or something. Like,
I mean, I always describe it as, you know, family comes from, you know, the word familiar, right? And so it's just, there's just something familiar, like with these new family. And some people get that, some people don't. But like with me, it was immediate. Like, I belong to this family.
It was for me too. Like, and for my kids and for them, like, we just all just felt so just comfortable. And there's another thing. I do want to say this too, because so the whole time before we meet, Glenn is real, I could tell, like, just nervous. Like, and where he had me, like, I knew, like, he's just a super good person, because when he asked me, he was so concerned about my parents. He didn't want to hurt them in any kind of way. Like, he's like, because he said, I just think about me, you know, and my kids, and then somebody, he's like, I just don't know how I'd feel about it. I'm like, but you don't understand. My parents are good. They know, they adopted me. They know I have biological parents out there, but they are secure in our relationship. Like, you're not a threat to them. Like, you cannot have enough love in your life. Like, they want me to, the more people that love me, they're good with that. So
they were at the house, right?
Yes, they did. They come and met him. Cause he told me, he's like, yeah, I'm so excited. I get to meet you. He said, something about my parents. I said, oh, so, well, what about your daughter? He's like, well, yeah, that's a given, but he was just excited to meet them, meet the people that raised his daughter. That just speaks volumes of who he is.
It definitely does, that he was worried about it and that he was excited about it. Seeing, you know, he probably worried about you this whole time, right? Like, what happened to you and stuff. And then to find out that you were taken care of by people that loved you must have been just heartwarming for him.
Yes, because I just think about myself and I'm thinking, you know, just as long as I know, you know, I just want to know, I want to have a relationship with my son that I placed for adoption, but I just want to know he's good and he had a great life. You know, I just want to, you know, that he's healthy and, you know, those things, you can't put a price on it. So I get where he's coming from, you know, and he's just, and it's kind of crazy because him and my parents, like, really get along, like, because we've done things that's not been filmed. I mean, we went back to Dolphin Island and spent another week, and my parents stayed there, and Glenn and Hunter. Whitney didn't get to come because she was in Europe at the time, but, like, we've spent time together without the cameras.
No, that's good.
Because him and my parents really get along. It was funny watching them sit out there by the pool and talking. And I'm like, this is weird. This is funny.
And then how was it being on a reality show, like with crew everywhere and stuff, like cameras everywhere? How long did it take you to get used to that?
You know, honestly, like, and every single one of us didn't bother any of us. Like, we just fit right on in. And they kept saying, I cannot believe, they're like, that you've never done this before. And I'm like, I'm good with that. Like, I can just be myself. The only part that makes me is when you have to do, like, in season 11, they would call it on the fly interviews. And that's the only part that I would get nervous. Like, when we're just sitting around being us, I'm good with that. But when we had to do the on the fly and talk to the camera, then my daughters were a little bit then, but far as they're like, and I never quite understood it until this season. They kept saying, no, you either like are made to do it or you're just not. And I'm like, I couldn't understand it until Whitney got with Kenny. And Kenny, I've known him forever. I love him. He's one of my son's friends. And I'm like, I kept looking at him. I'm like, why are you acting like that? Stop, Kenny. Act like yourself. It was because the cameras were rolling. He wasn't being himself. And now I get it. Where some people.
Oh, wow. Look at you, a little matchmaker for your sister.
Well, I didn't. My son tried to. It didn't work out, but it was okay. And it was being filmed. So he wasn't even acting like, I kept looking at him like, Kenny, what are you doing? Like, now I get it. Like, I guess some people aren't good on camera.
You and your kids are all just so, yeah, just totally natural, especially your daughter with the whole dance contest. And
oh my gosh, that was.
I mean, she was made to be on TV, I think.
Yeah, they love Jamie. They do. They love some Jamie. But we, okay, see, and this is the thing too. So Jamie just turned 26. Whitney is fixing to turn 40. And okay, so I'm fixing to turn 56. So Whitney's kind of in the middle. So her relationship, like me and her have a sister relationship. Like, it's super cool, but I see how close she is to Jamie because, see, she's in the middle, like,
right,
and she just draws to Jamie, like that younger generation. So it's almost like I feel like I'm their mother, like, honestly. So she draws to Jamie a lot. Jamie and Whitney, just, they're more like sisters than aunt,
which is good because the show kind of, I know there's editing in reality shows, they kind of pit them against each other a little bit. I was feeling bad for Jamie. And then,
I know, it's so funny, but it is, because Jamie and Whitney just love each other so much. And we're all competitive. I don't care what it is. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the best I can do it. So if you say, hey, race me to the fence, I promise you I'm going to race as hard as I can because I want to win.
Right.
I don't care what once it's all done and over with, we don't care. Like, it's no big deal, but everybody should strive to do the best you can.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I know people are like, the competition, we're all competitive. Every single one of us are in our family. And I see where I get it from now.
Remember when Angie said she just wanted to find somebody that she looks like?
You look like him so much, especially, I mean, when he was younger. You really do.
I agree. I've always wanted to be able to look at someone that looked like me.
Well, you found him.
Yes, and I found you and Hunter.
Dad, do you see that looking back at you? That is you.
That's awesome.
You know, finding out that I have a half-sister, it's something that I never thought would happen. So I'm just excited that you're cool.
I am cool, actually.
So you're going to be on the next season as well?
Yes.
And when does that come out?
You know, I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because I think they normally start filming like in February, but they started early this year. So I'm not. Everybody's asked me that, and I don't know. Honestly, I just go and do, and they just let me know, I guess. So I would almost think June or July is what I would think.
Okay. You should get your own spinoff show.
I know, right? Well, what's the spinoff going to be?
Angie's, I don't know. I'll come up with a title. I know. Angie's Search for Her Son. Matter of fact, why don't we just do a shout out and try to find him right now? I mean, I don't have that big an audience, but who knows?
I know. That would be great. That would be awesome. Anything would help.
Yeah. So where was he born?
Okay. So he was born in Mobile, Alabama at Providence Hospital, March the 9th, 1985. So he just turned 39.
So if you're out there and you're 39 and you were born on that date, in Mobile, Alabama, not hospital, and you think you might be adopted or you know that you're adopted, reach out.
Yes.
Find Angie on social media. Angie, I'm going to put your Instagram account on the show notes for this episode. Is that good?
Okay. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Also, if you know somebody that has that birthday and doesn't look like his parents. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, thanks for coming on. And, you know, hopefully your son would turn up. That would be kind of cool, huh?
Yes, it would be amazing. I mean, that's my dream, actually, to be able to. I just mainly want to know that he's good. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Like Glenn, how he was so freaking happy and relieved that you told him you had a great life.
Yeah, it would be, I mean, icing on the cake that we, you know, he'd live right here. We'd just, you know, have a great relationship and, yeah, hang out with us and the kids and meet his brothers and sisters. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, we'll see if anything turns up.
Yes, I pray it does. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm so glad that it worked out for you so well.
I know, me too.
You're like rolling the dice when you're looking for that family, right?
Yes, it is.
All right, Angie, you have a nice day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. So again, the name of that TV show is My Big Fat Fabulous Life, starring Whitney Thor. You can watch old episodes on it on Max, you know, the thing that used to be HBO, or Discovery Plus. And you probably can get it on Amazon or Apple Plus. You know, you might have to buy it. But anyway, if you have Max, it's on there. And Angie's story begins season 11. If you want to reach out to Angie on Instagram, it's AngieB_2003 on Instagram. That's AngieB_2003. You can send her some love there. I'd like to thank Billy Sullivan for providing all the music on today's episode. If you want to send me an email, you can email me donnpe@icloud.com. If you want to reach out to me on Instagram, it is npe_live_podcast on Instagram. Don't forget to rate the show. Please, please, please leave a review. I really appreciate it. Today's show was written, produced, and edited by me, Don Anderson. Thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait to see you on the next episode of Missing Pieces, NPE Live. Thanks for listening.